The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome, friends. Welcome to the fourth Sunday of Easter, which is Good Shepherd Sunday. And today we will journey together and encounter God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. Let us begin with the words printed in our bulletin. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
I invite all who can stand to stand now for our opening hymn, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
Please be seated.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and forward for a children's message.
Everyone doing today? Good. Good? You have a good week?
Yeah.
Almost out of school?
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that. Any summer plans? You don't have to say it out loud, but just say whether you do or not. Well, today we have, today is Good Shepherd Sunday, and it's called Good Shepherd Sunday because it's a portion of the gospel where Jesus talks about how he's a good shepherd. And he says something about those who hear my voice. And so I wanted to explain what Jesus is saying because I have this little thing. You know what it is? What do you think it is? Yeah, earplugs, right. Yeah, take out the earplugs. And what are these for?
Covering your ears.
Well, yes, they cover your ears, but what do they do when they cover it?
You can't hear anything. You can listen to music.
You can listen to things. Yeah, that's right. With that play in here, and then I turn on some music on my phone, and I can hear it. There's little speakers, right? And so I hear the voice. So hear the voice. And the problem is, children, is there are a lot of voices in the world. And maybe you've heard someone tell you that you don't belong, or that you're not good enough, that you're not loved, that you'll never be. These are the voices that discourage us. But then Jesus, our good shepherd, comes. And he says, you are loved. Your place is right here at the table of God. That not only are you good enough, but you are perfect in God's creation. So friends, in life we can choose to listen to the words that discourage us, or listen to Jesus who tells us that we are loved. So let us pray. On the count of three, let's bring our hands together. One, two, three. And repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God,
thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for being. Thank you for being.
Thank you for being.
Our good shepherd.
Our good shepherd.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first reading is from the book of Acts, the 9th chapter. Hear now the word. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men with him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping, and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
We'll be singing the psalm this morning, and because this psalm is arguably the most well-known and most well-quoted verse, maybe in the entire Bible, I'd like to do it just slightly differently. Please sing along with both the light and the dark print, and we will all sing together as those of us upstairs lead you through Psalm 23.
Second reading is from the book of Revelation, the seventh chapter. Hear now the word. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne, and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John. John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's name. The Father and I are one." The Holy Gospel, according to John.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, friends, I was thinking about today's passage, and I was reminded that on Easter, I made a Freudian slip. Yes. But what a great moment was that for me. Because never in my life have I gotten so many Christmas cards in the fall of the year. And I sat there and I thought, wow, this is a really amazing and blessed community. One in which you're almost more loved because of the state than perfection. More cared for, more laughed with, more accepted. It was a beautiful experience and an encounter and a testimony to who you all are. And also, the psychologists in the room might point out that every time there's a Freudian slip, it's your unconscious telling you something. And it's pretty clear what's telling me because I say it all the time. But Christmas and Easter are connected. Two sides of the same coin, the very same mystery being proclaimed at both moments. There is no Easter miracle without the miracle of Christmas. Without Christmas, Easter is just the story of the Spirit of God floating around the world and entering in and going out, and it's not that big of a mystery. Unless the light of God has first become flesh. And likewise, friends, Christmas makes no sense if the cross is not the destination. And it's going to be a long sermon because I already forgot what I was going to say. there it was. So without Easter, Christmas is just a warm baby story. And without Christmas, Easter is just a ghost story. And you might think, okay, what does that have to do with today's text? But I'll get there. Our first verse, though, gives us the key. He was in the temple at the Feast of Dedication. And that, my friends, means it's Hanukkah, that winter celebration. And Hanukkah, if we were taking the SAT here, I would have the question, Hanukkah is to what as Christmas is to Easter? And you fill in that word Passover. Two sides of the same mystery. Passover is that moment when God leads the nation out of slavery so that they can go worship God in the wilderness. And friends, that's the important piece. It's not just that they were set free, because we know from our human nature, if we are just set free for freedom's sake, we will find something to enslave us. And so we are set free to worship God. And Hanukkah is a remembrance of that time when the temple was desecrated, when a foreign ruler controlled it, made it unholy. And then once the temple was regained, it was rededicated. It's the feast of dedication. In other words, friends, we always need to be led to freedom. And we always need to be reformed, because we always end up desecrating ourselves. And so, there is always that need for us to remember what is sacred. We might say all things are sacred, but that only makes sense if you understand what a sacred thing is. And so we get symbols like temples, sacred places, encounters in nature where you realize that that veil thin between heaven and earth is at its thinnest. You encounter it. And like Jesus would say, you hear this because you're part of my sheep. I don't have to labor this point, because you're in a church because you've encountered sacredness somewhere. And yet, there's always the need to remember what is holy. It's also interesting and fascinating, friends. Neither Christmas as a church holiday nor Hanukkah as a Jewish holiday can be found in scriptures. They both grow out of the worshiping community. And because a worshiping community embodies the belief and the values and the meaning of the event. And so it is also fascinating if you realize that Hanukkah is not a pilgrimage, was not a pilgrimage festival. It's about dedicating of the temple, but there was no movement to have it like the Passover. It was a pilgrimage festival. You were supposed to go to Jerusalem in the Passover. Hanukkah was a stay-at-home festival. So you see already they were understanding that the purpose of the temple was to say, I am going to rededicate my house as a place of sacred encounter between the family and God. And it's only one more step to realize the temple is truly you, because you are the sacred place where both heaven and earth meet. And friends, this is Jesus's point. His final words in our little story is, the Father and I are one. So, I think it is pretty clear what he's saying there. He is claiming templeship, if there were such a word, of himself. It is not the building itself that contains both heaven and earth, but it is me who contains both heaven and earth. The implication is clear. You want to encounter heaven and earth, you come to me. and then I will give eternal life. You see, eternal life here is not primarily an amount of time. As we say, it is not the quantity, it's the quality. Eternal life here is the sense of participating in this unity of heaven and earth. So if you come here, you too will become a holy temple, a place where heaven and earth meet. I said it was going to be a long, so hard sermon. I don't know why my mind is not yet today. But I know at this point you're all thinking, okay, this is Good Shepherd Sunday, and now it's all about temples, so what the heck is going on? Right? So just bear with me. Jesus is not just the place where heaven and earth meet. Jesus is also the one who leads us to the place where heaven and earth meet. See, it's Jesus who is leading us out of the valley of the shadow. It is Jesus with the nation leading them out of slavery into the promised land. And it is Jesus who restores us. And that is the key. Because we are all marred by sin and death and failures. But it is Jesus and the life of God that is poured out from Jesus into us that restores us. My friends, that is why we come to the water. That is why we come to this table. That is why we pray in the beginning that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed and cannot save ourselves. And that, friends, is the mystery. Because we cannot get ourselves to heaven. But heaven comes down to us. And yes, we're back at Christmas at that point. Heaven comes to us and comes down into us so that we may partake in the life of God and be raised up. And then, my friends, we are back at mystery. The mystery is there. Every moment. The invitation now is to come and realize who we truly are. For this is who we truly are, united to God. The struggle is to realize it, to see it, to live into it. But this is not just our task, this is also our hope. Because God, who has begun a good work in Christ Jesus, we'll see it to completion. And our journey to union with God will be complete. It is both our journey and our destination. It is both something to strive for and the hope of what will be given. It is grace. It is the Good Shepherd who leads us. So, yes, maybe saying Merry Christmas on Easter isn't that far off. Because Jesus is always here, always being born anew in our hearts, always dying and always rising again, and always calling our name and leading us home. Amen.
Thank you.
resurrection and new life. We come before you in prayer for the church, the world, and all who are in need. You guide your people to the waters of life. Make your church a nourishing place for all who are thirsty for hope and healing. Renew us in the waters of baptism and send us forth as signs of your love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You tend to the earth, sustaining life in all places. Revive fragile ecosystems and restore species in danger of extinction. Teach us new ways of living in balance and harmony with our non-human neighbors. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You lead all people along right pathways. Grant wisdom and compassion to judges, lawyers, mediators, and legal advocates. Dismantle systems of mass incarceration. Empower processes of restorative justice. And encourage all who strive for healing in our communities. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You wipe the tears from every eye. Tend to all who struggle with anxiety or depression, loneliness or despair. Enfold all who are in any need in your shepherding care, especially Joe, Carol, Misty, Melissa, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, David, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Shauna, Dan, Julie, Paul, Charles, David, Scott Wilson family, the Kevin Ward family, the Gary Cover family, Dean, Ricardo, victims of war and violence, victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
This Mother's Day, bless mothers, grandmothers, and all who offer mothering care. Come close to those whose relationships with their families are difficult, and console all who grieve the loss of mother figures or the loss of children. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You are the source of everlasting life. In deep gratitude for all your saints, we rejoice in the joy and hope of the resurrection made known to us in Jesus, your beloved child. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We commend these and all our prayers to you, O God, trusting that you are always with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior.
Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you all to share the peace of Christ with those around you. And I invite us now to come back together and to stand for our offering now. Gathered us around your table of grace, along with these gifts we bring. Come among us again. Breathe your life into us and enliven us with this meal, that we may live as your risen body in the world.
Amen. Amen. Covenant in my blood.
shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We, remembering therefore his command, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit, to bless us, your servants, and these, your own gifts of bread and wine, so that all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessings and grace, and may be formed to live as your holy people. To you, blessed Trinity, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever.
Amen, amen, amen.
Gathered together by the Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people, and all are invited to come forward. In just a moment, the ushers will come and we'll invite you to fill in our communion rail from left to right to left. You may receive communion either standing or kneeling, whichever is most comfortable. Only extend your hand out and the bread will be given to you. And then reach in and you can take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. But always know this table is open for all and your place is here. Amen. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior keep us in grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Living one, in this feast you have made yourself known to us. Send us now to tell of your wonders, sing of your glory, and proclaim your risen life to a wounded and weary world.
Amen.
Amen. And friends, we just pause briefly for some announcements, and we have the words of the week and all the calendar of events. A lot going on in the week to come. I just want to highlight, working back from next Saturday, we'll have Jeanette Agri's memorial service here at noon with a reception following downstairs. We move back from there on Thursdays. We are starting our beach walks up again in the summer. So if you'd like to join us here at 11 a.m. So different times, 11 o'clock here on Thursdays. And then on Wednesday, we'll have both our contemplative prayer service at noon here and Welka at 12:30. And I promise we will be done by the time Welka starts. A lot of events going on. There's always a place for you here. And let us prepare our hearts for the benediction. The triune God, who was, who is, and who is to come, sovereign Savior and Spirit, light your way with resurrection dawn, now and always.
Amen.
Thank you.
In Christ you are made new. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.